Welcome to a study in the Word. Today's message is Trusting in the Lord.
Amen.
And this is number 46 in our series, An In-Depth Study on Love. 46 lessons, praise the Lord. We passed a year mark in May 31st and kind of winding down to the end of our series, I think. The trouble with a study on love, you never get done with it. You're studying it through an eternity. And there's still more to study. That's the problem with trying to do an in-depth study on love. Love is something that is related to every single thing we do.
Amen.
It is the foundation of everything we do or we don't do. So that's why it's so intense of a study. But I've really enjoyed this study. Personally, I've grown a lot with it. And I encourage you to go to our website at rallaharvest.org. You can scroll down there and click on the study tab, sermons tab, and you can scroll all the way down to May 31st and listen to every one of them, along with a bunch of others. Well, let's get started. Father, I thank you for this time today in the Word.
Thank
you for the privilege that we have of coming before your throne this morning to hear your precious voice. Lord, we open our thoughts, we open our spirit man to receive what you have for us. Thank you so much for sending your precious Holy Spirit who lives and abides in each of us who are your sons and daughters. We thank you so much that he is the one that brings forth revelation knowledge. And we ask you, Father, for words today voiced by your Spirit. And we ask for ears to hear and a receptive heart. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, today's message is trusting in the Lord. What does it mean to trust in God? You know, there's so many people that don't understand what trust is. They don't understand how it functions. And trust is akin to faith, but it's not faith. They're different. They have different purposes. Faith is a force, and faith only works in the now. Trust is kind of like an authorization. You know, trust is something that if we're going to study trust and how it's related to love today, we need to come into an understanding of that trust cannot be earned. You know, most of us think that, well, I'm going to earn this person's trust. Or you'll get in a circumstance where the person that maybe you've wronged them or you've hurt them or you're in a business or something and an employee and you maybe done something that didn't look just quite right. The boss comes and accuses you of something. Well, you've kind of lost a trustworthiness with the person. And they'll say something like, if it's a spouse or a friend or something, they'll say, well, when you do this, this, and this, then I'll trust you. Well, you come along here and you do all of that. You do everything. I mean, you go beyond what they ask. And they still say, you ask them, well, do you trust me now? They say, well, I don't know. I'll think about it. What just happened there? You became trustworthy. You positioned yourself for trust, which that's as far as we can go. We can only position ourselves for it. But the person or the entity or whatever you're trying to become trustworthy for, they have to grant that to you.
Amen.
Trust is always a grant.
A gift, yeah.
It's always a grant. It's never a time when you can earn it.
Yeah.
You can only earn trustworthiness or the ability to be trusted. So how does that relate to today's sermon, trusting in the Lord? Well, it has everything to do with love, because the one thing, you cannot trust God if you don't love him.
Mm-hmm.
If you do not set your love on God, you cannot trust him. There's no way to do it. And without trust, you cannot set your love on him. It's the other way around. They both work together.
The Bible says, trust in the Lord with
all your heart. Yes.
And lean not unto thine own understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge him. And he will direct our paths.
A positive.
Yes.
What's that will related to? Trusting him. Who does the trusting? God? I do.
Yeah.
See, and what's happening there? I'm granting God my trust. And you know, when you approach God, and I'm way ahead of myself, but when you approach God with prayer or with a need or something, or you're standing for something, if you don't grant your trust to him at that time, your faith is worthless.
Yeah.
You have to grant the Word of God your trust, and you got to grant God your trust.
That's real submission, isn't it?
It is submission.
Yeah.
Because you're taking yourself out of it. You're saying, I'm no longer trusting in myself and my own abilities. I'm trusting you, Lord. There comes a time when we need to voice that, and I've done that already, but I'm getting ahead of myself. First, we must understand that trust cannot be earned, it must be granted. A person can position themselves to be trustworthy, but cannot earn trust. No matter what a person does to become trustworthy, that trust must be granted, it cannot be earned. Our trust in God and His living Word must be on a higher level than our trust in anyone or anything else. God and His Word are absolute truth. Why do I need to know that? God has already, He's already being the living Word, being the Creator, being love Himself. He's already trustworthy.
Amen.
I may not know that, and I may not even know that I need to trust Him. I may be born again, I may read the Bible every day, but the thought of trusting God never entered my mind. I just approach my problems and issues in life just like everybody else does. If I get in a problem, I may pray, God help me. But I've never taken the Word and presented it to Him. I've never said, I trust you, Lord, your Word says. And then walk away with confidence in that Word. Not in the problem. But so many times when we pray the problem, not the answer to the problem. We never place any trust in the Word. And we wonder why we don't get an answer. Because we have not set our love upon Him and we've not put our trust in His Word. If His Word is absolute truth, and it is, it cannot be changed. Something that's absolute, you cannot change it. You can change it where you're concerned based on what you believe, but you cannot change the Word. It's the same way with Jesus. Jesus is Lord, whether I believe it or not. It doesn't change His position. It changes how it affects me, but it doesn't change His position. He's God. He's Lord. Whether I believe it or not. You know, so it's the same way when the Word is absolute truth, even if I don't study it, even if I don't go to it, even if I don't believe it, it's only a myth, that's what your perspective is, or it's only a book of morals. If that's your perspective, that's as far as you can go. But it doesn't change the Word. The Word's still absolute. What it says it will do, it will do. But it's according to my ability to put a trust in it. I grant the Word trust in my life. And without trust, my faith doesn't work. The same way it doesn't work without love. Because I cannot trust God without love. I have to set my love upon Him. My love upon Him. His love's already set on me.
Amen.
He does not have to position Himself to become trustworthy. He is.
Yes.
I may not know that. I may not understand that. But He is. It doesn't change His position. And that's my point. God is trustworthy. That's why believing is important.
Amen.
What if I believe something, what have I done? I put trust in it. So you see how they work together. They're not the same. Believing and trust and faith are not necessarily the same. But they're really akin to each other and they function as a unit. And all of them function based on love. If I'm not loving God and doing what it says to do, it's impossible to set my trust on Him. What happens if I don't set my trust on Him? My trust is going somewhere else. I'm trusting the problem. I don't want to do that. Well, if you're not trusting the answer to the problem, you're automatically trusting the problem.
Right.
Whether you realize you're doing it or not, you're calling that problem up. You're developing that problem because your faith, the reason you're worrying is because you trust that problem to happen. You are trusting it. You are applying a trust to it, even though you don't want to do that. Because you're not taking that trust and applying it to the Word. Trust is so vital to us to have an understanding of it. When I trust someone, there's like a covenant that happens. There's a link, a union, and a communion that happens between us. And now, if I move my trust anywhere else, what's happened? I've broken that. And now the very one that is trustworthy can't function here because I pulled away. I put my trust elsewhere. That's what happened, and I'm not here. I'm not on this right now, but anyways, if I'm praying and I believe the word, I see it here, I'm placing my faith in it, my trust in it, and I'm loving God, and I step out from there and somebody says, how are you? And he said, well, I'm not doing too good. What just happened? Why did you say that? You said that because you have more trust in the problem than in the word you just prayed. Had you had trust in that word, your comment, your response would have been different. You didn't carry it forward, even though you meant it here. Your carnal mind flipped when that person asked you the question. You have predetermined that whatever the problem is going to happen. Haven't you done that?
Yes.
You've removed your trust from the word and placed it on this circumstance. And you don't know you did it. And you'll go down the road and you'll wind up with the problem happening and you'll say, see, that word doesn't work.
And at that time you fall from faith.
You fall from there. And God didn't change. You did.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is we don't teach these things. The church doesn't know it. They just respond like a pinball that bounces around inside a pinball machine. The bumpers push it one way or the other and we respond that way. And we're not supposed to be that way. We're supposed to be steady on our faith, steady in our trust in God, and be like that one that you don't like when you pull that little pinball handle and it goes up and falls straight down, doesn't hit anything. That's the way you want to be in life. You want to trust God so much that He guides you around those issues, and the ones that you go through, you're not worried about them because your faith and trust is in God. What happens in that case? You'll face a lot less problems. They won't have near the effect on you that they would have had, because you're not busy helping them grow. You're busy taking care of them with your Father. That's what we're supposed to be doing, and we're supposed to be helping each other with that. When I say believe, according to the Amplified Bible, there's a difference between believing in God and believing God.
Right.
The big difference between the two, you can believe in God, not believe Him. If I don't believe His Word, I don't believe Him. So it's just that simple. But what the Amplified says, when you believe in God or you believe God, you adhere to, trust in, and rely on. Well, when you're going through these circumstances, if you say, well, I do trust God, ask yourself those three questions. Am I adhering to Him? Adhering to His Word, what it says? Are we stuck together? Unbreakable. We're adhered to each other. Like that glue that you put it on there and it's instant and you're not getting it apart. You know, you're adhered to it. So you're adhered to God, you're adhered to the Word. And do I trust it? If I am adhered to it and I trust it, then I'm not going to move. I trust God. When Mr. Doubt comes along, and he will, because the only hope Satan has is to move you off of the Word. He ain't got no power otherwise. He has to move you away from the Word. He has to do that. And you have to cooperate. You have to remove your faith in God and put it over here on what He's saying or what's coming from the world. Then you have to start believing that more than you do God and His Word. He's removed you from your Word, so you don't trust Him. You didn't trust it. So you adhere to Him, you trust in Him and trust in His Word, and you rely. Rely means this wall is going to hold me. You're leaning on God. You're leaning on Him. You're trusting Him no matter what happens. That wall can be removed by somebody and you're still going to be here like this, leaning on it. Because you trust God.
Trust somehow, in the Lord with all thine
heart. All thine heart.
And lean not
unto your own understanding. I'm not leaning on my own understanding here on this wall. I'm leaning on His Word. I trust His Word. And if the wall removes and goes, I'm still going to be here because there's an angel there holding me. Something's going to hold me up because God's Word is true. And that's the way I've got to approach the problems in life. when we get to the problem, we study the problem and not don't study the word. Don't we? If I'm trusting God, I'm adhering to Him, I'm believing in Him, and I'm relying on Him. That's the way I'm supposed to be. So many of us don't do that. We don't take time. We'll study the problem. We'll study what it's going to do. We'll study the outcome of the problem, where the world says it's going to go, and where doubt says it's going to go. We'll do all of that. And we'll try to study a way out of this thing, so we won't break the bread of life. That's the last place we'll go. Somebody will come along and says, well, what scripture are you standing on? The Bible? No. What scripture are you standing on? I'll stand with you. I never thought about it. And that's the average response. We spend so much time on the problem and very little time on the answer. And that's why we fail. And we'll blame God. They'll say, well, I prayed. I said, God, don't you know, if you don't intervene here, I'm going to die if you don't intervene. And that's our prayer. That's not prayer. That's complaining. But when I approach God, I say, God, I trust you. I love you. Your word says, by His stripes I'm healed. Amen. I know what the doctor says.
Past tense.
And according to his instruments, everything he says is true. He's not lying to me. But I've got higher knowledge. I've got an inside hope. Amen. I've got inside knowledge. Based on your word, which is a higher law. That doctor's showing me a law, and I see it. I can believe that, or I can believe the higher law that says, by His stripes I'm healed. 2,000 years ago, Lord, You spent time on that cross for me. You bled and shed Your blood for me once for all. So I trust You, Lord. I trust Your word. Now that we have to realize that when I do that, there's a process. Everything has a process. This appendicitis that I'm dealing with had a process. Mine's not normal. It's curved up around the bowels. So they couldn't operate on it without taking part of the bowels out. So God gave them wisdom on how to handle that without an operation. And so far it's working and it's going to continue to.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Now I can trust in that problem. That was not a suddenly. For many years I've had a problem with white blood cell count and they couldn't find the problem. Okay, otherwise, but it was always there. I'm convinced that that was the problem all the time.
Because
the surgeon said it's shielded up, it's bent up that way instead of just hanging down. The body shields it, so you don't notice it.
Yeah, covers
it up. And they can't operate because of taking other things out with it. So, praise God. Took 5 days in the hospital, but I'm feeling good now. I'm a little bit weak yet. But go back for another CT scan to see that she says everything's fine. And I feel fine. So I'm believing we won't need an operation.
Amen.
But even that is not my problem. God's taken care of that.
Yes.
But my point with all of that was not what's going on. My point was there's no such thing as a suddenly. Everything has a process. Everything does. The Word has a process. When I prayed, just like I showed you here, prayed based on the Word, put my trust in the Word, I got to realize that can happen instantly in the form of a miracle, but a miracle is not God's best. They're more evident to us, but God's best is that we believe His word and the word bring it to pass. By faith, that's His best.
Amen.
That's what He expects us to do. But when I do that, the miracle may or may not be there. That's not something that we can guarantee, but we can guarantee the word.
Yes.
Because it's absolute. And if I can guarantee the word, and I'm standing on the word, I've got to realize there's a process here. It took a process to get me here, now it's going to take a process to get it to me. Like downloading something from the internet, because it's over here on this other guy's server, it may be in Mexico somewhere. But I'm downloading this program here in Missouri. Well, it takes time for that program to transfer from over there in Mexico down to my computer in Missouri. And if I stop anywhere along the line, it's aborted completely. But there was a process, a time frame. And we're talking spiritual law, spiritual reality being transformed into time, into the natural. So when I pray and I believe the word, there may be a transfer time.
That's where faith comes in.
That's where faith and hope comes
in. Hope.
Hope is out there. It already knows it. Yeah. It's got the pattern and the blueprint. Mother calls it expectation. And that's what it is. But without it, faith can't work. And faith can't work in the future. It only works in the now. It's a now faith, not a then faith, or a will be faith. That's hope's job. And then patience connects the two.
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome? That's how things work together.
That's where we let patience have her
perfect
work.
Exactly. And that's my job. That's my part.
Yeah,
that's I don't part. Make it happen. He does.
Yeah.
But my job is the protecting of it, the keeping of it, the trusting of it, the relying on it, the adhering to it. That's my job. He can't do that for me. And if I stop, it stops. And that's my point. So remember when you pray, boy, remember when you pray, you're going to have those elements there. And if you're going to be successful in your prayer life, you have to have the real written word, what it actually says. And that's what you base your prayer on, not on the problem.
Or what you think it says.
Or what you think it says. Or just a principle. Or what somebody said it says. You open your Bible. Well, I can't find it. There's concordances, there's tapes, there's people, there's a search engine. There's all kinds of ways of finding what you need in a Bible. It's there. Your job is to believe it.
And that's where I have to seek the Lord with
all my heart. Yes.
When I go into the Scripture and find
and
keep finding and believing to find.
You seek.
Yeah.
That's the Scripture you're looking. You seek. Or you ask, you seek, and then you knock.
Yeah.
I got this issue. Lord, teach me how to choose. He said he would. Show me by your Spirit what I need here. And it's so amazing to me how many times what you think the problem is not the problem at all. But if you don't do it that way, you're not going to find that out. Boy, I'm not even in the first 3 points.
Praise God.
But it's good. It's good stuff. So remember, it's adhering to, trusting in, and relying on. When I truly set my love upon God and habitually walk the love walk, it's got to be a habit. As a lifestyle, I will trust God no matter what takes place in my life. And that's the only way to walk through the issues and problems of life is you set your love upon God and you guard it. Then you walk the love walk in the natural. 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. I love it. That's another series by itself. But we talked about it a lot here in this study. But when I do that, when I think the best of every person, take no account of a suffered wrong, I believe God, I believe the word of God. When I do that, then trust enters in. If I'm walking the love walk, I'm trusting.
And that's where the peace comes.
That's where the peace comes, and that's the preparation of the gospel of peace on my feet, which is my anchor. So this is so important to us. If you're not walking in love and haven't set your love on the Lord and walking the love walk, that's your number one issue. And you have to do that daily, moment by moment, every now moment, everything you run into, how's the love walk apply here? Am I out of order? If you are, repent. He cleanses you instantly. Praise God. That's so important for us. When I truly set my love upon God and I walk the love walk, then trust enters.
Amen.
It's an automatic. Then my faith works. When we trust God, we position ourselves for Him to accomplish His will in our lives. If I don't trust Him, His will cannot be accomplished in my life. That trust has to be there before my faith will work. I can ask for God's will in my life and it never come to pass because there's not any trust there. I have to trust Him. Okay, Psalm 31:19, Amplified Classic. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear, revere, and worship you. Goodness which you have wrought for those who trust and take refuge in you before the sons of men.
Now, what's your scripture?
Psalm 31:19. This is amplified.
It's very close, though.
Very close to the New King James. Oh, how great is your goodness. We can say amen.
Amen.
God is good. Which you have laid up for those who fear, revere, and worship you. Now, let's talk just a moment about fear. It doesn't mean I'm afraid of God. If you go to the dictionary and you type in fear, you'll find out one of the definitions is reverence.
Yes.
And if you go to the Amplified Bible, wherever the word fear is, it'll say reverence as a definition. Not in the actual sense of fear where you're afraid of something. That's just fear. But God does not want you afraid of Him. He wants you to come to Him. That's why He died on the cross. That fear is reverence. As a matter of fact, the Amplified says reverential fear. It puts the two together. Most people don't know that. So how can I come to someone I'm afraid of? Well, you're not supposed to be afraid of God. How can you trust Him if you're afraid of Him? You can't trust Him if you're afraid of Him. You can't have faith in someone you're afraid of. You will not come to someone you're afraid of.
The fear of the Lord is respect.
It's respect, reverence. That's where the reverence comes from.
Yeah.
Giving Him His place and His honor and humbling yourself before Him. That's where the worship comes in. So, which you have wrought for those who trust and take refuge in you. If I trust God, I'm going to take refuge in Him, no matter what the problem is. We'll see this again here in Psalm 91, verse 1 through 4. I don't have time to go through the other one. We've done a 9-part series on Sunday mornings many years ago. I never got to the final one. Things changed. But anyways, it's a series in and of itself. But we're going to just look at 9:1 through 4 here, an Amplified classic again, because it brings out things that the other versions do not. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. I will, okay, I made a decision. I will say, so you speak this, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, you're making it personal, on Him I lean, rely, and in Him I confidently trust. Or then, I like the way the Amplified puts then in there. First word there is for then. Now, what does that mean? It means when I do those other things, then. Verse 3, for then He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. And then He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings shall you trust and find refuge. His truth and His faithfulness are a shield and a buckler. Why? Because I've trusted Him. I've leaned myself on Him. First of all, you cannot enter into the secret place without trusting Him. You can never get in there. It's not secret to. It's not secret where you cannot find it. That word secret means personal. It means secure. It means a place where you commune together secretly, just you and Him. It is findable, but you have to do what's required to enter there. And when it says enter, it's talking about a lifestyle. It's talking about something that is permanent. It's not when you abide somewhere, means you take up residence. It doesn't mean you go in and out. It means you abide there. He who dwells or lives or abides, this is a permanent thing, in the secret place of the Most High, you're talking relationship here, shall. I like to look for absolutes. When I do that, it's an absolute that this will happen. Shall remain stable and fixed. If you want to remain stable and fixed in your life, there's only one way to do it. You don't want to bounce around like a pinball in that pinball machine in the game of life. You don't want to do that. Remain stable. You have to set your love upon Him. You have to trust Him and come into that relationship with Him.
Like a tree planted by the water.
That's, I love that Psalm 1. Yeah. But if you don't do that, if you don't abide in His Word, you can't dwell in the secret place.
No, that's right.
You can't get in there by singing songs. Unless they're totally word songs. Then you're in the Word. But so many of them are not word-based. I'm not off on music. So many of them are not accurate. But don't just sing songs. Get into the Word. That's where He lives. That's who He is. And then these things open up for you. That's so awesome. But I can take refuge in Him, and He becomes my fortress because of my trust. Okay? I cannot truly trust the Lord without setting my love upon Him. Setting my love upon Him opens the door for God to pour out His blessings upon me. Now, for an example, if you can see in your mind, here's the blessings, all of God's blessings. They're all. And they're putting pressure on this door. They're wanting out. They're putting pressure on that door. That door will not open unless I open it.
Amen.
But when I open it, because I trust Him, then they just pour out. They gush out. That's what part of tithing is. When you do the tithe, He opens the windows of heaven.
Yep.
And pours out the blessing. So much that you cannot contain it. Why? Because I trusted Him with that. And I trusted His Word. I did it out of love. I didn't do it out of duty. I did it out of love. The windows don't open because of duty. The windows open because of love.
Amen.
I tithe because I love. Okay? So this is so important for us. Get the image of dwelling in the secret place with God. So much so, it's beyond Adam, where Adam was. That's where God wants to take us. We're so close to Him that we're constantly in relationship and presence. That's supposed to be our life. We have our carnal, natural life, but it comes from our spiritual life. They flow together. This carnal life can never be above my life with God. That has to be first, which draws the other one up. Otherwise, all I've got is myself. Okay, Psalm 91:14. Now, if I am trusting God, God Himself says this. And again, I'm using the Amplified because of what it brings out. Psalm 91, verse 14. This is God Himself speaking. It's not some author. It's God saying this. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore. That's the same kind of word as then. Because He did this, therefore will I deliver him. These are absolutes. I will. I will deliver him. I will set him on high. Because he knows and understands my name, has a personal knowledge of my mercy, love, and kindness, trusts and relies on me, knowing I will never forsake him, no, never. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Hallelujah.
See the benefits of trusting God, of setting your love upon him. It's so vital. These are things that he will do. I don't have to even really ask him to do those things. It don't hurt. But I don't have to ask him because they are benefits that God gives. The only thing I have to do there is set my love upon him and then determine when I'm satisfied with life. Because with long life, I will satisfy him. God didn't put a number on that. He just says, will I satisfy him? Are you satisfied? I'm not yet. I got work to do. So I plan on being around a while. But there will come a time when I'll be satisfied. Then it's time to go home. I'm satisfied. But that's a promise so many of us don't get. We don't even know it's in there. But with God, these are absolutes. He gave them to us. They're there, but they cannot be activated until I set my love upon Him and trust Him. I have to find them in the Word, declare them, and receive them. Know that they're there. Then the Holy Spirit can start working on those. Then those angels run out there and start working with that because I've declared it. But so many of us don't do that. We don't do it. But we expect it to happen. Psalm 34, verse 22, Amplified Classic. The Lord redeems the lives of His servants. And none of those, how many?
None.
None of those who take refuge and trust in Him shall be condemned or held guilty. Now that does not mean that man won't condemn you and hold you guilty. But He won't.
Amen.
And that's the highest court there is. So you have to worry about God. He says He will not hold you, condemn you, or hold you guilty. He's not doing that.
And you know what? At that point, I have found out that's where we still must walk with the faith that worketh by love to those natural people around us.
Exactly right. Because they are going to come. That's where the rubber meets the road.
It is.
That's when you really say, that God will say you're walking in love. Yeah, so He will not do that. He will not condemn us. But it says His servants. Now that was, and this is pre-cross. How much more to His sons and daughters post-cross? See, you read these things, so I'm not a servant. Well, we're sons who serve. So what are we? We're servants because we want to be. But we're also sons and daughters. How much more is this related? Psalm 37. And Psalm 37 is a series in itself. I want to get these few out. I know I'm not going to finish it. Psalm 37, verse 3. The very first word there, the Amplified Classic again, is trust. And notice how it the Amplified puts trust, again, like believing. Lean on, rely on, and be confident. When you're thinking of trust, that's what you're talking about. Lean on, rely on, and confident in the Lord. And, now what's and? It means I got to do something along with that. And do good. Why? Because that's the love walk. You know, if I trust Him, it's going to lead to good. If I don't trust Him, it's going to lead to bad. But I'm supposed to trust Him and do good. Have feet to my faith. So shall. Another absolute. So shall you dwell in the land and feed surely on His faithfulness, and truly you shall be fed. So there's an absolute. You don't have to worry about it. You're going to feed on His goodness and mercy and grace. He's going to bring life to you because you're doing this. Now the next one is delight. If I trust in the Lord, I'm going to delight in Him. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires and secret petitions of your heart. It doesn't even matter if you don't know what those petitions are, what those desires are. He's going to give them to you because you're trusting Him.
Amen.
And you're delighting in Him. You've set your love upon Him. He has put specific desires inside of each of us that only He knows are there.
Amen.
And He's going to call those up because I'm delighting in Him. Isn't that awesome?
Hallelujah.
My part is to trust and delight. He does all the rest.
Hallelujah.
And then the next one we don't like.
Commit.
You said it, brother. Commit. Commit your way.
That's where faith and trust
is. Commit your way to the Lord. Roll and repose each care of your load on Him. Trust. Lean on, rely on, and be confident also in Him, and He will bring it to pass.
Amen.
Those are absolutes. He will bring it to pass. and he will make your uprightness and right standing with God go forth as the light, and your justice and right as the shining light of noonday. Be still and rest in the Lord. Wait patiently. Wait for him and patiently lean yourself upon him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. So see, there's some things I do there, but what are the benefits of doing them? They're so awesome and full.
Abundant life.
But it means that I dwell here, I live here, I abide here. I trust him. I highly suggest that each one of us that hear this or share with other people, that we try to influence people to where they will literally trust God. They'll declare it. I've done that. I don't have time to share much of it, but there was a guy who was stuck, a friend of mine, 20 years ago in his life. He failed God in his eyes, but he never left there. He's lived in that place for 20 years. And every time you talk to him or share with him, he'd bring that up. And then one of those times, I was listening to him. I knew exactly what he's going to say. And he was saying it there. And he said, I lost faith in myself. I lost trust in God. And he stopped. And he said, Mike, is that where I missed it? And I said, that's where you missed it. You are going to have to take that circumstance, and you're going to have to fold your hands like this. Say, Father, I give this to you. I trust you. And as I showed him, something went off in me on that. Because so many times we don't do that. He never gave it to him. He never trusted him with the outcome of it. Years later, he's finally got to the place where he's done that. And he is a different person. It's awesome because it's so important. Sometimes we have to visualize and verbalize. Lord, I trust you with this. I place it in your hands. And then let it go. And allow the Holy Spirit to work that out. You may pick it back up again, but give it right back.
Amen.
Repent of it. I want to make a few comments, and I'm going to have to go. The real true heart desires that we have in the depths of our heart are placed there by the Holy Spirit. As we learn to trust him, he will lead us into their fulfillment. God will always give us assignments that requires us to solely rely and trust him to bring them to pass. And that's part of those desires he'll bring up. When they come up, we'll look at them and say, I can't do that. You can. He always gives us something that we're going to have to trust him and rely on him to give us the ability and the power to carry it forth. But we're not doing it ourselves. He's doing it. I'm doing the faith and trust. When we truly trust God, we recognize that it is not our responsibility to make things come to pass. But he brings it to pass based on his word, because we set our love upon him and trust him. How many of us are on faith projects that we're working out? They're not faith projects at all, or I wouldn't be working them out. So many of us come up with the idea and then ask God to bless it. It's supposed to be the other way around. God, what is the idea so you can bless it? I'm supposed to expect him to give me the idea. And that's already blessed.
Amen.
But for me to come up with the idea, I've got the cart before the horse there. It's not going to be blessed.
That's putting ourselves in his place.
It is. That's exactly right. God, you have to do this. You know it's right. No, he doesn't know it's right. God has already determined the path that he desires for our life. Our job is to discover and align ourselves with that plan, not create our own. We're not supposed to create our own. We're supposed to line up with his.
Amen.
Discover what it is. That means we ask, seek, and knock. Okay. He brings it to pass. When we truly trust God, we align ourselves with His ways, not ours. He is our life, our shield, our refuge, and our joy. I want to go on, but I can't. I'm out of time.
You are.
Psalm 18:30, Amplified Classic. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tested and tried. Already, it's perfect. He is a shield to all those who take refuge and put their trust in Him.
Amen.
We must trust God no matter what takes place or what we think or feel. Psalm 37:39 through 40, again, Amplified Classic. But the salvation of the consistently righteous is of the Lord. He is our refuge and secure stronghold in the time of trouble. And the Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they trust and take refuge in Him.
Amen.
No matter who we are, we all must deal with trouble. During times of trouble, the enemy, if we allow him to, will try to bring worry and fear into our lives. Fear, worry, deception, and strife are Satan's big guns, his big weapons. They are involved in just about everything he does. When we truly grant our trust to God and set our love upon Him and His living Word, worry and fear are dealt with. I'll read this one from David. David said it this way. David never said he wasn't afraid. All of us are going to deal with fear. We're going to deal with worry. It's how we deal with them that matters. They're going to come. They're a part of this nasty world. It's what we do with them that counts. Listen to what David did. Psalm 56, verse 3 and 4, Amplified. He says, what time I am afraid? What time I am afraid, I will have confidence and put my trust and reliance in you. He's talking to God. By the help of God, I will praise His word. On God I lean, rely, and confidently put my trust. I will not fear. What can man who is flesh do to me?
Amen.
See his attitude? And that needs to be ours. What those troubles, those fears, those worries, try to come. I have a choice to make. I can accept them and respond to them and start linking up with them. What I've done, I put my trust in them then. Or I can do like David. He said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in you.
Amen.
And he said, he verbalized it. See, he's talking to God right in the middle of the fear. This is what he's saying to God. He's declaring it. His ears are hearing it. It's coming alive in his spirit. And those angels are hearkening to the voice of his word, Psalm 103:20. They're hearkening to it and carrying it out, even pre-cross. How much more post-cross?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
What can man do to me?
Amen.
Well, Father, we have to stop right now. Anyways, Father, we thank you for this word today. I thank you so much for it. I needed this. I thank you, Father, for the Spirit that shined on this word and brought forth revelation and will continue to do so. I thank you, Lord, that you'll bring this up in our lives as we face those issues and problems. By your Spirit, you'll quicken us and teach us that we must trust you. And we thank you, Father, that you are trustworthy. And as Michael grants you my trust, I grant you my trust. I trust you, Lord. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.